Three nights later, something appeared in the sky of Cherbourg, France. Illustre Cherbourg. The thing that appeared, night after night, in the sky of the city of Cherbourg, at a time when the planet Venus was nearest, inferior conjunction April 26, 1905. Flammarion, in the Bull. SOC. Astro. De France, 19-243, says that this object was the planet Venus. He therefore denies that it had moved in various directions, saying that the supposed observations to this effect were illusions. In L. Illustration, April 22, 1905, he tells the story in his own way, and says some things that we are not disposed to agree with, but also he says that the ignorance of some persons is inenarrable. In Cosmos, NS, 42-420, months after the occurrence, it is said that many correspondents had written to inquire as to Illustre Cherbourg. The editor gives his opinion that the object was either Jupiter or Venus. Throughout our Venus visitor expression, the most important point is appearance in a local sky. That unifies this expression with other expressions, all of them converging into our general extra-geographic acceptances. The editor of Cosmos says that this object, which was reported from Cherbourg, was reported from other towns as well. He probably means to say that it was seen simultaneously in different towns. For all guardians of this Earth's isolation, this is a convenient thing to say. The conclusion then is that the planet Venus, exceptionally bright, was attracting unusual attention generally, and that there was nothing in the especial sky of Cherbourg. But we have learned that standardizing disguisements often obscure our data in later accounts, and we have formed the habit of going to contemporaneous sources. We shall find that the newspapers of the time reported a luminous object that appeared, night after night, only over the city of Cherbourg, as the name by which it was known indicates. It was a reddish object. The editor of Cosmos explains that atmospheric conditions could give this coloration to Venus. I suppose this could be so occasionally, not night after night, I should say. We shall find that this object, or a similar object, was reported from other places, but not simultaneously with its appearance over Cherbourg. In the Journal de Debats, the first news is in the issue of April 4, 1905. It is said that a luminous body was appearing, every evening, between 8 and 10 o'clock, over the city of Cherbourg. These were about the hours of the visibility of Venus. In this period, Venus set at 9:30 p.m., and Jupiter at 8 p.m. It is enough to make any conventionalist feel most reasonable, though he'd feel that way anyway, in thinking that of course then this object was Venus. In my own earlier speculations upon this subject, this one datum stood out so that had it not been for other data, I'd have abandoned the subject. But then I read of other occurrences, time after time has something been seen in a local sky of this Earth, sometimes so definitely seen to move, not like Venus, but in various directions, that one has to think that it was not Venus, though appearing at the time of visibility of Venus. Between these appearances and visibility of Venus there does seem to be relation. In the journal, it is said that Illustre Cherbourg had an apparent diameter of 15 centimeters, and a less definite margin of 75 centimeters seemed to be about a yard wide, meaningless of course. In the Bull. SOC. Astro. De France, it is said that, according to reports, its form was oval. In the Journal de Debats, we are told that at first the thing was supposed to be a captive balloon but that this idea was given up because it appeared and disappeared. Journal de Debats, April 12. That every evening the luminous object was continuing to appear above Cherbourg, that many explanations had been thought of, by some persons that it was the planet Jupiter, and by others that it was a comet but that no one knew what it was. The Cornet explanation is of course ruled out. The writer in the journal expresses regret that neither the Meteorological Bureau nor the Observatory of Paris had sent anybody to investigate, but says that the Préfet Maritime of Cherbourg had commissioned a naval officer to investigate. In L.E. Temps, of the 12th, is published an interview with Flammarion, who complains some more against general inenarrableness, and says that of course the object was Venus. The writer in L.E. Temp says that soon would the matter be settled, because the commander of a warship had undertaken to decide what the luminous body was. L.E. Figaro, April 13. The report of Commander de Carillis, of the Chassis Luclobut, that the position of Elestra Cherbourg was not the position of Venus, and that the disk did not look like the crescentic disk of Venus, but that the observations had been made from a vessel, under unfavorable conditions, and that the commander and his colleagues did not offer a final opinion. I think that there was inignorableness all around. Given visibility, I can't think what the unfavorable conditions could have been. Given, however, observations upon something that all the astronomers in the world would say could not be, one does think of the dislike of a naval officer, who, though he probably knew right ascension from declination, was himself no astronomer, to commit himself. In L.E. Temps, and other newspapers published in Paris, it is said that, according to the naval officers, the object might have been a comet, but that they would not positively commit themselves to this opinion, either. I think that somebody should be brave, so, though not positively, of course, I incline, myself, to relate these appearances over Cherbourg with the observations in Wales, upon March 29. Also I suggest that there is another report that may relate. In L.E. Temps, April 12, it is said that, at midnight, April 9 to 10, a luminous body, like Elestra Cherbourg, was seen in the sky of Tunis. Though it was visible several minutes, it is said that this object was probably a meteor. Every night, from the 1st to the 11th of April, a luminous body appeared in the sky of Cherbourg. Then it was seen no longer. It may have been seen sailing away, upon its final departure from the sky of Cherbourg. In L.E. Figaro, April 15, it is said that, upon the night of the 11th of April, the guards of La Blanche Lighthouse had seen something like a lighted balloon in the sky. Supposing it was a balloon, they had started to signal to it, but it had disappeared. It is said that the lighthouse had been out of communication with the mainland, and that the guards had not heard of Elestra Cherbourg. In the London Times, November 23, 1905, a correspondent writes that, at East Liss, Hants, which is about 40 miles from Reading, he and his gamekeeper had, about 3:30 p.m., November 17, heard a loud, distant rumbling. According to this hearer, the rumbling seemed to be a composition of triplets of sounds. We shall accept that three sounds were heard, but we have no other assertion that each sound was itself so subserialized. This correspondent's gamekeeper said that he had heard similar sounds at 11:30 a.m., and at 1:30 p.m. It is said that the sounds were not like gunfire, and that the direction from which they seemed to come, and the time in the afternoon, precluded the explanation of artillery practice at Aldershot or Portsmouth. Aldershot is about 15 miles from East Liss, and Portsmouth about 20. Times, November 24, that the quake had been distinctly felt in Reading, about 3:30 p.m., November 17. Times, November 25, heard at Reading, at 11:30, 1:30, and 3:30 o'clock, November 17. Reading Standard, November 25. That consternation had been caused in Reading, upon the 17th, by sounds and vibrations of the earth, about 11:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 3:30 p.m. It is said that nothing had been seen, but that the sounds closely resembled those that had been heard during the meteoric shower of 1866. Mr. H. G. Fordham appears again. In the Times, December 1, he writes that the phenomena pointed clearly to an explosion in the sky, and not to an earthquake of subterranean origin. The noise and shock experienced are no doubt attributable to the explosion, or to more than one explosion, of a meteorite, or bolide, high up in the atmosphere, and setting up a wave, or waves, of sound and aerial shock. It is probable, indeed, that a good many phenomena having this source are wrongly ascribed to slight and local earth shock. Mr. Fordham wrote this, but he wrote no more, and I think that somewhere else something else was written, and that, in the year 1905, it had to be obeyed, and that it may be interpreted in these words, "Thou shalt not." Mr. Fordham did not inquire into the reasonableness of thinking that, only by coincidence, meteors so successively exploded, in a period of 4 hours, in one local sky of this earth, and nowhere else, and into the inference, then, as to whether this earth is stationary or not. We have data of a succession occupying far more than 4 hours. In the Times, Mrs. Lane, of Petersfield, 20 miles from Portsmouth, writes that, at 11:30 a.m., and at 3:30 p.m., several days before the 17th, she had heard the detonations, then hearing them again, upon the 17th. Mrs. Lane thinks that there must have been artillery practice at Portsmouth. It seems clear that there was no cannonading anywhere in England, at this time. It seems clear that there was signaling from some other world. In the English Mechanic, 82-433, Joseph Clark writes that, a few minutes past 3 p.m., upon the 18th a triplet of detonations was heard at Somerset as loud as thunder, but not exactly like thunder. Reading Observer, November 25 that, according to a correspondent, the sounds had been heard again, at Whitchurch, 20 miles from Reading, upon the 21st, at 1:35 p.m., and 3:08 p.m. The sounds had been attributed to artillery practice at Aldershot, but the correspondent had written to the artillery commandant, at Bulford Camp, and had received word that there had been no heavy firing at the times of his inquiry. The editor of the Observer says that he, too, had written to the commandant, and had received the same answer.